Hello and welcome to From the Rookery End. My name's John. Yes, the Watford season is over, but we are still making podcasts. Crazy after that season, but we're here at the training ground, the Watford training ground, just ahead of a training session for Watford women who are in the playoff final. They did win the league, and lots of you would have seen them at Vicarage Road at the last game of the season against Stoke, taking a raucous round of applause from the Watford fans, who were successful in their season in winning a league. And you think at that point, if you won the league, you would be promoted. Alas, there is another step to go. Watford are playing at Milton Keynes Dons on Saturday against Nottingham Forest. They're winners of the Northern Premier League division. See which one of them will go up into the Championship. I'm joined by Kieran.
Hello, John.
Kieran is our ladies' football expert. So, Kieran, explain this. So, where are they in this in the tiers of women's football?
Watford have just won the third tier, but the third tier is split into two. So, as you just mentioned there, you've got the Southern Division and the Northern Division. So, Watford have just won the FA Women's National League Southern Premier. Nottingham Forest, who they face at Milton Keynes, have won the Northern Premier. So they've both won their respective leagues. Now they go into this playoff at MK Dons to determine who will be promoted into the Women's Championship, which is the second tier. Now, the frustrating thing is, if it was this time next year, they'd both be going up, because the FA announced a few weeks ago that the winner of the Northern Premier and the winner of the Southern Premier will be promoted the following season, and there will now be two relegation spots from the Championship. So Watford and Forest will be the last playoff that determines promotion into the second tier, because from next year both teams will go up.
That's where they are in terms of the structure of women's football. But where Watford, you know, you've worked with the club 10 or so years ago now, quite closely. You're a Watford fan, not only the men's team but the women's team, and you've worked within women's football. How is this set up, this, like, you know, this women's part of the club? How was that sort of, have you seen that change over the last decade or so?
I mean, I volunteered with the club 10 years ago. I think it was the 2012-2013 season. And back then, the club was playing at Burke Hampstead as its home stadium. I don't think that year we played a single game at Vicarage Road, from memory. And the club will have come under the umbrella of the Watford FC Trust rather than Watford Football Club. We've obviously seen that change in recent years. We're here, as you say, at the training ground in London Colney. The players didn't used to train here 10 years ago when I was involved. There's been ups and downs, certainly, in the last decade. I think, you know, I remember sitting in, John Salomon was the manager when I volunteered, and we were sat in his flat putting the application together for Watford to go into what was then the FA Women's Super League 2. It's now the Women's Championship. We were successful with that application. But then when the Women's Super League went professional and the Women's Super League 2 was rebranded as the Championship, we then had to reapply for a licence. And I wasn't involved in the club at the time, but it's got nothing to do with me, and it wouldn't have even if I was. But Watford were unsuccessful with their application and fell out of the Women's Championship into the third tier. And I think they went through a bit of a rocky phase, if I'm being honest. I don't think they were probably getting the support that they probably needed to try and stay in those top two divisions that they were in previous years. But I think the last few years we've seen them get back into the Championship. It would have been in circumstances that they wouldn't have been, as a player, wouldn't have wanted, because it came as a result of the pandemic. The season was curtailed. They had to put an application in to be promoted. It was done on a points per game basis, and all very complicated, so I won't go into it. But this is an opportunity for them to be promoted finishing the season, whereas last time when they were promoted into the Championship, the season had been curtailed and it was done on a points per game basis.
And of course, they came down last year in probably the one of the most, almost the anti-Troy Deeney goal.
Yeah, it was the very last kick of the season. They were home to Coventry United. Watford and Coventry were the two bottom teams. Watford just needed to avoid defeat. It's still in my mind and still in my head. I can still picture it because I was in the stands. I think it was Molly Green of Coventry United got a free kick at good 35 yards out and has absolutely tonked it into the top corner. And it was the last kick of the game, and it sent Watford down into the third tier. So unbelievable character from the squad to have bounced straight back immediately to win the Southern Premier. But now the big game is coming up on Saturday against Nottingham Forest, and it'll be an unbelievable turnaround if they can go and win that.
We've come here to speak to some people to speak to some players, speak to the manager about where they are this 4 days away from this big playoff final. We're going to be there. What is your podcast? You know how much we like to do podcasts. But let's sort of find out a bit more about them. First of all, we spoke to Damo. That's what the girls end up calling him. Damon, the manager. First, he's been Watford women's manager, but was a professional footballer, but sort of a curtailed career due to injury. And he's come up to Watford via like academy football. Is that common for a manager of women's football?
Yeah, it's not uncommon. I think we see in the women's game, there's various different routes that we've seen managers come from academy football. There are coaches that have come over from the men's professional game. You know, I'll use Paul Konchesky, for example, is the manager at West Ham at the moment. So there are various routes that coaches can come in. I think the women's game is probably a little bit more open. I think there are more opportunities. So for managers like Damon, who've been in academy football, it's probably more chance of him having an opportunity to work at in the higher levels of the women's game than perhaps in the men's.
So this is where we had a catch up with Damo ahead of Saturday's game. Damon, how are you ahead of the big game on Saturday at the moment? It's Tuesday, so okay so far?
Yeah, no, we're excited. It's been it seems a little while since we played our last game, so it was nice to have a Sunday off and relax, which we ain't had for a little while. But ahead of training tonight, we're really excited to get the prep in place for the big one on Saturday.
You mentioned there, haven't played for a little while. Obviously, you got a little bit more time to prepare for this game, 2 weeks instead of maybe 1 week, or if it's a midweek game, only a few days. How's it been different trying to prepare for this one with that little bit extra time?
We gave them Tuesday off after, obviously, the last game of their season against Billericay, which they deserved. We wanted them to enjoy their achievement of winning the league, and we made very clear that we come in Thursday. We've fully focused on the last game that we've got now against Forest. So it gave us a little chance to give them a breather. We trained Thursday, Saturday, and then Tuesday and Thursday going into the game at the weekend will be full prep on sort of our opposition and what we're coming up against.
And you know, the fact that you've played them in a high-pressure game, I suppose, not that long ago in the cup final, has that changed things for you in terms of how you're preparing for this game compared to all of the games you've prepared for this season?
No, absolutely not. Regardless of the game and regardless of the opposition, we'll do things properly. We do our homework on whatever opposition's in front of us, and that won't change because of the occasion. We try and give them the best chance going in to, like I say, whatever fixture it is. And they train to their max every session, no matter what. It doesn't matter whether it's first game of the season, last game of the season. They give us all they've got, and that's all we're asking for them. Just another couple of good training sessions, see if we can finish the job off on Saturday.
Yeah. How much momentum do you feel you've got going into that final based on how winning the Women's National League Southern Premier kind of occurred? Because it went right down to the last day. It's three clubs that are all capable of winning it. You guys come out on top. How much can you carry that into this final?
Lots of momentum, if I'm being honest. Probably from the last 6-7 games of the season, we knew that there was very little margin for error. We needed to probably win all of our games. So we almost went in with sort of nothing to lose and everything to gain. And it's gone our way. We've won every one of those league games, which has built confidence and belief in the group. And obviously winning in the manner that we did last Sunday, it instills a belief that it's our time. And we fully believe that if we go and produce what we know we can on Saturday, that we can finish the job and get promotion.
Because there was, I still seen the video on YouTube and the celebrations. Well, there's a little bit of you being the manager. Yeah, they're loving the fact they won the division, but knowing quite cruelly, I think, actually, that you still have to win another game to get promoted. Were you like, okay, brilliant, celebrate, but calm it down a little bit because we've still got another game? Did you have to play that slightly nasty role?
Yeah, it's not in my nature to be bouncing around and dancing and singing anyway, to be honest with you. But I did have to fight myself a little bit to say, look, we need to acknowledge that we've just won the league. And regardless of what happens on Saturday, that's a great achievement, and it's took a lot of hard work to get to that stage. Yes, we're desperate to win on Saturday and we'll do all we can to win, but no one can take away from the group that they've done something that no Watford women's team's done for, I think it's 18 years and won a league. So we wanted to enjoy that moment, but we knew that could be short-lived, and we had to then put it to bed and fully focus on the last game, which was the playoff final.
you mentioned there, you know, a while since the team have won a league. Obviously, the last time that Watford were promoted into the Championship, it was following a season that was affected by the pandemic, and they had to apply to go into the Women's Championship, and obviously were successful. I think they were top of the league at the time, certainly, or very high up. For those players who were maybe around at that time, does it feel like this is an opportunity to, I guess, finish the job? Because while there was a good chance they would have been promoted that season, it was kind of taken out of their hands a little bit, whereas this time it's very much in their hands.
Yeah, 100%. In my opinion, when you get promoted and you get the accolades of moving up a division, you want to know you've deserved it. And taking absolutely nothing away from that group that got the opportunity to be promoted, it was probably not done in the manner that a player's going to remember for the rest of their career. And that's what it's all about for me, creating moments and memories that for the rest of your life you're not going to forget. And I know that last Sunday was one of those for the players, and I know that this Saturday coming up could be another one, and we anticipate that they're in a great place mentally. It will still be fresh in their minds how that felt on that final whistle when they won the league, and they want that feeling again. So yeah, so it's, for me, like I say, it's about creating moments and memories that you, will live with you forever.
Tell us about this season. Like, you've been properly in charge like since the beginning of the season with them. How has this team for you developed, and what ways has it changed since they turned up for the first training session with you for this season?
It was a bit of a process, to be honest. So we knew the kind of identity that we wanted to create within the team. We knew that the kind of environment that we wanted to create, which we felt would give us a chance of being successful as a group. And it evolved over time. It doesn't happen overnight. We know it's a long process when you're talking about maybe changing the culture of the place, because it was a tough season last year in the manner that they went down on the last day of the season. That hurts a lot of people for a long time. So we knew we had a fair bit of work to do when it come around to sort of the mindset and the mentality of the group. That was the first thing that we wanted to really nail down. And then just sort of over the course of the first 4 or 5 months of the season, then really understanding our ideas and sort of our philosophy as a coaching unit. And it's just developed from there, really. Their understanding's of a really, really good level now. They know exactly what kind of we want from them, and they know that they've got an opportunity to go out there and express themselves with no fear, and they've embraced that and sort of seen the rewards from it.
What did you want? What is it you wanted to achieve? Like, for people who are listening who you haven't really watched that much of the women, what was it you wanted them to be as a team?
We wanted a brand of football that people would identify sort of when they watched a Watford team, they knew what they were going to come and watch. Really sort of high tempo, out of possession team, and a team that really controlled the ball when we had it. And like I say, that comes with time. That don't happen overnight. That's lots of hours on the training ground and getting players in that, one, are capable of doing it, and two, are brave enough to do it. So that was sort of the main process during pre-season and the early parts of the season, building that understanding and building the sort of players' knowledge of what it takes to be a Watford player under this sort of programme at the moment.
I mean, John's asked about what you wanted from the team, the makeup of the squad. You've got some really experienced heads. You've got a lot of young players as well. How important are players like Helen Ward, Gemma Davison, regardless of their involvement at the weekend? Helen played an FA Cup final 10 years ago. Gemma's won the FA Cup. How important will their big game experience be in trying to, I guess, help those younger players get ready for what's potentially the biggest game in their career?
When we recruit players in the summer, we wanted a nice mix of experienced players, of young players, of players potentially coming into their prime years. For all those reasons you've just mentioned, Helen and Gemma have been there and done it in the game. They've been in these situations before. They've played at high level. And some of the younger players, as you've said, this will be their first real high-pressure moment in their careers. And they'll lean on Gemma and Helen quite a lot to reassure them, maybe give them advice on sort of how their body's feeling going into those parts of the game, which, like I say, is not made for everyone. Not everyone likes the pressure situations when there's a lot riding on it, but having them two in particular in the squad has been gold dust all year for me. It's a manager's dream, and we encourage them to share those experiences, and they really enjoy helping the younger players. I've seen that this year with both of them.
You mentioned that some players don't like pressure, or maybe don't know how to handle that. did we get an idea of the character of your team and your squad in that Oxford game? Because you're 1-0 down in a game that really mattered at Vicarage Road, and then you come back and get the victory.
Yeah, 100%. I think, again, it's something that don't happen overnight. I think it's something that over the course of the season, we've slowly tried to ingrain the character and the resilience of the group. And it's good for the players. We ask them to play a brave style of football that takes courage and it takes confidence. So that will help them because, again, we're asking them to do things that quite a lot of players wouldn't feel comfortable doing. For sure, that Oxford game was a real test of character at half-time. It would have been easy to sort of buckle and hide away, but they didn't. They stood up and it was an opportunity for them to show how far they've come from last year, in my opinion, yeah.
Beginning this season, of course, every manager hopes, dreams and sometimes expect. Was there a moment, particular moment for you, maybe it was in a game or maybe it was on the training ground where you went, actually, yeah, we could easily do this. We could, if we do it right, we can get promoted.
I wouldn't say there was one moment, to be honest with you. I wouldn't say there was much. There was a couple of key moments throughout the season that were blessings in disguise, and they were probably the moments when we weren't at our best. So I think about Portsmouth away quite early on when we lost 2-0, and that was probably the best thing that happened to us because it highlighted where we needed to strengthen and where we needed to really sort of focus our energy on. And we went on a really good run off the back of that. And then obviously we played Oxford away and we conceded 97th minute when we weren't at our best again. And they're the moments really that have built the character because, again, it would have been easy in them moments for us to feel sorry for ourselves, to maybe start pointing fingers and scrapping the plan, if you like, and going with what would seem to be an easier plan. But we haven't, as a whole group, as a whole organisation, we've stuck to our beliefs and we've learned from the difficult moments, which has built the character. And I think the Oxford game was just an opportunity for everyone to show how far we've come and what the team is made of.
What are you most looking forward to on Saturday?
Winning. I'm looking forward to the
end. And what will you do when you win? What do you feel the energy and the happiness of the day? What do you reckon?
To be honest with you, we talk about this. We talk about visualization and manifestation and that. And we all do it because of our biggest motivations, our families and the people that really care about us. And that's what I want all the players to be thinking about, how happy they're going to be making their families, their loved ones, all the supporters that care and that are there to support them on the day or at home if they can't get there. That's why you do it. It's not always about you. It's about the people connected to you and the people that care just as much.
You're not saying, you know, you don't visualise yourself being a knee slider?
No.
Or you're more of a jump in the air and an arm up?
No, not me. I visualise myself looking over into the crowd and seeing my family personally. That's what I see. If they're happy, I'm happy at the end of the day. So, yeah, and I'm sure the players are exactly the same. They probably have a few more celebrations than me lined up. I'm not a big celebrator. I've said this before. I'm quite a mellow guy, and I'll have a celebration that night when we get the job done, but not really on the pitch for me.
Okay, brilliant. Good luck.
Cheers.
What a cool, calm man he is, Kieran. I definitely think that I'm quite an energetic, excitable bunny sometimes, me. But I think he's exactly the person I'd want leading me into that game on Saturday.
Yeah, you get the impression that it's never too high, never too low, right? It's kind of the impression that I got from him. Wasn't willing to get too excited, very level-headed. As you say, considering first season as a head coach at senior level, done a brilliant job. He's clearly, you know, he's still quite young, I think, in football management terms, but I think he came across really well. You know, clearly very up for the game at the weekend, but not willing to get too carried away. Said, didn't he, that match at Billericay where they won the league, he didn't get too excited about that. He knew that there was still another game to go. And, it's, you know, you can't blame the players for getting carried away. It was a last day of the season championship win. But for him, clearly, his focus was, I've still got this one more game to go.
He wasn't getting excited or showing his excitement. But like two ladies we caught up with were definitely exciting. They definitely had a big celebration in the last game of the season. Bianca Baptiste and Flo Fife, the two of the big wingers, two massive parts of Watford women's attack. We caught up with them together to find out, well, where they're at ready for Saturday. So, big game on Saturday. Biggest game of your career so far?
Up there, yeah, definitely. I think similar to the Coventry game last year at the end of the season, that was obviously a big one because that was down to sort of the other end of the table and whether we were going to get relegated. But yeah, I think this probably is up there. It's a massive game and yeah, we all really want it. So.
And going into this game, does it feel different compared to that Coventry game?
Yeah, the same amount is riding on it, but it's the better end of the table to be, and we know sort of that we can get success out of it. So.
Yeah. And how about this? So, I don't know, when did you join the club?
I joined this season.
It was this season, yeah. So, joining the club after relegation, what did you think you found here with the women's team?
Well, I played for Spurs for about 10 years, and to me that was a family. And this is I've been at a few teams, and this is probably one of the teams that's been the closest to that feeling. So, it's amazing, the girls are amazing, and so are the fans, they're incredible.
And preparations for Saturday, because you played them not that long ago in a big pressure game, anything different you're doing ahead of it? No, you know the people you're going to be facing, you just saw them a few weeks ago. Is it any different that your mindset for this game?
Do you know what? I back us all the way. And I think that the way we train, the way we work together, and you know what our end result is, I think we will give them a good run. I can't really say that I think we'll win, but I do think we'll win as long as we stick to our game plan and play exactly how we have been playing with the passion and the motivation. I think we'll give it a go and win the league.
Well, you won the league already.
Yeah, we'll win the league. Get promoted. Yeah.
How was that? That winning. You know, the fact that you won the league, but you didn't get promoted, and you've still got this other game. Where was your head at? Like, yeah. Well, we've seen the YouTube video. We've seen the crazy scenes. But actually, how quickly do you think your head went? Okay, good, great, amazing, but we've still got more to go.
It was obviously down to the wire whether we were going to win that game. And when we did, sort of, you have to celebrate because we weren't. We knew we were going to do it in our heart of hearts, we knew we were going to do it, but there was obviously sort of that chance that we weren't, that Oxford might have been beaten Ipswich. So I think it was kind of the relief, and we did celebrate, like we did really enjoy that day, and we had a night out, but then, well, we had Tuesday off, and then we were back in on Thursday, and it was head straight back on this game, really. And I think it's almost a disappointing thing about the league because you have that massive high, but then you still know that you can't get carried away with it because even though you've won the league, you've still got one more game before you can actually sort of get promoted. But yeah, we enjoyed ourselves, but we kind of knew that there was still one big game to go, and when we win that, that's when we'll really celebrate.
Played Forest already this season, owe them one. What did you learn from that game?
Do you know what? I think we all learned a lesson that game. We went out there and we were quite confident. We were probably not as training as warming up as high as intensity as we were. We know, you know, there was a few sloppy goals that were given away. But do you know what? They're a good side. We can't fault that. But my honest opinion, we're a better side. So I think we just, as I said, stick to our game plan and we'll get the win. That's it.
We chatted to Damon a bit earlier on, and I asked him, for him, you know, first time he's managed a side for this whole season, were there moments for him where he went, yeah, we can do this? Because as you said, you know, got relegated, devastating, such a devastating way. Where do you think this season where you sort of went, yeah, we can do this again? Was there any moment in particular, any games?
To be honest, I think from the off, like the way we gelled as a team, I think we knew we were a quality team. And as sort of Damo's had more time to implement the playing style and stuff, we've only got better. And I think, yeah, you can see the way that we play as a team now is kind of how we want to be playing. And that kind of developed throughout the season. And I think from that, the belief developed as well. But I think the main game was the Oxford game. When we beat Oxford, like, that was what we needed to do. That was the main game that we were kind of eyeing up. And we had one, I guess the one loss that we kind of gave away was a Billericay loss when we lost, what was it, 3-1? 3-2, when we lost 3-2 at home. And that was kind of the one game where we can kind of hold our hands up and we really weren't good enough that game. But I think from there we kind of knew that every other game from there was very important, and that Oxford game that put us in touch and distance of them was really key, and again why we celebrated so much after that at the Vic, because we knew how important that was. And then I think that instilled the belief even more that it was like, right, we're only 1 point behind them now. We're so close, and yeah, it was kind of in touch and distance, and we knew the other results had to go our way, but I think we've had sort of that belief throughout the season, but I'd say, yeah, that Oxford game was sort of the main one that we were like, right, we're going to do this now, and it's kind of almost ours to lose in a sense because we knew we were the best team in the league.
Got two belters in that game as well, didn't you? Bianchi got one of them, kicked it off.
Yeah. Do you know what? That's probably one of my best goals in my career, if I'm honest. And it was a great feeling as well to score that and to celebrate with the fans and my team. Oh, it was just outrageous. If you knew exactly how I can express it in my heart, how I felt, it was just unreal.
And how different is it playing those goals games that we were going to play at MK Dons this weekend? How is it different when you play at Vicarage Road?
Vicarage Road is home at the end of the day for us. I've played against Watford on there. I've played for Watford on there, and it's just a great atmosphere. It's amazing. The staff are phenomenal there. They're lovely. They're really nice. So there's going to be a big difference because it's not our home game. But again, it's a big pitch, and I think that's where we play our best football, if I'm honest. We're fit. We train 3 times a week. We come here early to do little extra bits. We do extra bits at the end, and I think that's really going to get us what we deserve.
You mentioned earlier about this club feeling like a family. I'm just kind of interested. We're obviously here at London Colney, which is also the men's training ground. How integrated is it? How much support do you feel the team gets from the men's side?
I mean, it's great to be able to train at the men's training ground. I think that's sort of the main thing. I'm in my second season here now, and I think sort of as soon as you come into a training ground where it does feel like everyone's together, you see the men around, you say hello. Yeah, it does feel like more like family. And I think obviously Damo and Bev's both coming from the academy side as well, and even when they just first started helping us out last year, I think that was massive. And then obviously the opportunity to play at the Vic, like the fact that we have the chance to do that. I know that there's some women's clubs that don't have the chance to play at the men's ground, and I think it kind of shows how much the men do support us, the fact that we do have the opportunities to do that. And for us, sort of as female players, you don't get those opportunities often. So to be in a club where you kind of feel like it's on the right path to get in there and being completely supported is really good.
We don't know the team yet for Saturday, but if you know, there'll be lots of people going down. They might have just gone to the games at Vicarage Road, sort of follow things on social media. Who are what are we expecting to see? Who are the sort of people we should be keeping an eye out for, apart from yourself, of course?
Yeah, I was going to say
Helen Ward. Definitely, she's a legend. She's my goat, and she's someone that you know, I look up to and I respect highly, and I think she's a great role model for the younger generation. So definitely her, I'd say.
I'd say Gemma Davison, unbelievable talent. I think everyone knows what she can do, and when she turns it on, she turns it on, and I know full well that she'll be right up for the game at the weekend. And yeah, I think as forwards we got a lot of pace, and it kind of brings the energy and is kind of a big threat. So yeah, I think going forward, but then you've also got to look at the back, and you've got Megan Chandler and Maywald at the back that are just solid rock. So everywhere, really, everyone's sort of a talented player, and we play very nice football, so I think it'll be a show regardless of the individuals.
How important are, I asked the manager, how important players like Helen and Gemma are? Obviously Helen, I think it was 10 years ago, played in an FA Cup final for Chelsea. Gemma's won the FA Cup as well with Chelsea, and I think Arsenal as well, played in America. The makeup of the squad is quite balanced in terms of those young players versus experience. Bianchi, you said you've played 10 years for Spurs and played for Crystal Palace as well. How important is that kind of balance of having those more experienced heads with to help the younger players, but also those younger players to keep people like Gemma and Helen on their toes?
I'm 24. When I first joined Watford, I was 23, and I think sort of I came in as a forward, and having Helen to look up to, like, it was a great person to learn from. And I think I've done the same with GD this year, like just little tips in training, like even like the tiniest little things for me, it's allowing me to develop as a player. And I think sort of it's really important to have big characters like that. Like, there's absolutely no egos in our team or anything like that. Everyone is sort of together, and I think, yeah, everyone just sort of brings each other up, gives each other advice, and everyone wants each other to be the best sort of players possible. But to have players like Gemma Davison and Helen Ward in your squad, and you the oldies
more experienced
sorry the more experienced players going into such a massive game is a big thing, really. And I think that will sort of allow everyone to keep their heads in the changing room, because they've got a wealth of experience doing games like this, and it's only going to help everyone else.
Now, we spoke to Damo, is that what you call him? Not Gaffer, Damo. I like that. I asked him, you know, he talked about visualising the game on Saturday and all that sort of stuff. And I said, what does he visualise in terms of when you win? what, and I said to him, are you going to be a knee slider? Is he going to be a jumping up? And he said, no, I'll just look over to my family. And and that's all right. Can you visualise anything like you think what will happen at that last minute where the whistle goes in the 90th minute and you've won? What can you imagine happening?
Well, hopefully people don't get hit in the head by bottles. Yeah.
That happened. When we won the league, Dre got smashed around the head with a Prosecco bottle. But hopefully hopefully that won't happen again. But I don't know. I think it gives me goosebumps just thinking about it. And, yeah, I think we all kind of had that belief. And it's very easy to visualise sort of the minute the final whistle's going. But, yeah, we just celebrate exactly how we did when we won the league. Like, we all went mad. And
we've all seen it on YouTube.
Yeah, I honestly watched that YouTube video back with a massive smile on my face because it was just, yeah, such a great day. And, yeah, I think more of the same, really.
Hopefully we'll celebrate when the whistle's blown for the end of the game, not an offside rule.
That would be ideal.
That's confidence. That's confidence right there, Kieran, isn't it?
Yeah, I think what was good is that you've got that kind of contrast in Bianca mentioning there that she's obviously been there and done it 10 years at Tottenham. She's played in the Championship with Crystal Palace as well. Flo very much at the, let's say, opposite end of her career and, you know, maybe hasn't played in a game of this magnitude coming up at the weekend. But look, both really confident. And I think, you know, it's very easy for players to fall into that. We take each game as it comes and we don't want to get too carried away. But you can tell they're both absolutely buzzing for this fixture.
Yeah. And I think the more we spoke to them, the more I was getting buzzing for it. Next up, Megan Chandler, who was the Watford player of the season, Watford women's player of the season. She's been, again, you sort of said she's one of the senior players, even though I find it hard saying that, Kieran. I'm 43 years old. I can't really call them senior. They're older than, they're younger than me, but definitely older than some of the other players. And a defender. I do love it when a defender gets player of the season.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, she's shown this season that You need those type of characters and those type of players in your squad. You know, it's a big achievement when you look at the attacking talent that Watford have for her to pick up player of the season. So, you know, clearly had a good year and rightly recognised for it.
Let's see how Megan's doing.
Yeah, do you know what? I've not really thought about it yet, if I'm honest. We had Saturday training and then obviously Sunday off, which was nice. So today's our first session back in from Saturday. So yeah, I think now it's crunch time, you know, back to the grind and, yeah, excited more so. Not really thought about the nerve side of it yet, just excited.
I'm sure that will come.
Has it been a positive or a negative that you've had this gap between the Billericay game and the playoff match? Because obviously you would normally have maybe a few days or a week to prepare for a game, depending on whether you've got midweek. You've had 2 weeks to prepare for this one, or you will have had 2 weeks by the time the game comes around. Is that a positive because it gives you an opportunity to maybe forget about the game before and really focus on this one? Or do actually you would have preferred shorter time and you can carry that momentum through?
I think it's been a positive for us because we've had at the back end of the season quite a lot of injuries. So for us it's been a time where the girls that have been out have a chance to now get back. So we've got a squad that's fully strong going into the weekend. And also a chance to maybe take in what had happened against Billericay, have a few days to celebrate and then obviously start fresh. So for us, I think if it was a week turnaround, it might not have been enough time because obviously you still celebrate in one and then you're having to then focus on another. So yeah, it's actually been a positive time for us going into the weekend because we've had that time to celebrate winning the league, go to the men's game, which is lovely, come back into training, and now girls are getting ready to come back and be fully fit for the weekend. So yeah, we've had a really positive week and this one I'm no doubt will be the same.
Can you just talk about what it meant and what it felt like when you were introduced ahead of that Stoke City game for the men? And we discussed it on the podcast after the game. It was, I think, probably the biggest cheer that anyone got on the day. Really recognised for your achievement and people in the stadium really appreciating what you'd gone and done in winning the league. How did that feel when you were stood on the pitch and you heard that roar?
Yeah, oh gosh, I mean not many of the girls I think have experienced something like that, so myself included. So yeah, it was a real like humbling moment. It was like do you know what, this is somewhere where people can call home, because obviously we've had a lot of fans come to the games, but when you go to the men's ground it's like some people are seeing us for the first time. So it was so nice to get such a warm welcome, and there was like the little fans there asking for our autograph. So it really felt like we was, you know, as big as what the men's team were. So yeah, it was a really nice experience for everyone involved, for sure.
And you were awarded the Women's Player of the Season. Well, how was that? Yeah. Surprised, or did you think you've earned it?
No, I actually knew it was coming because Damo told me. But yeah, it was a surprise when he told me. Obviously, we've had such a good season. So many goals, so many players that have had great seasons. So for me, as a defender, it was a bit of a surprise, but a nice one. And yeah, picking it up at the Vic. I mean, yeah, God, I was a bit embarrassed. You know, I was a bit like, what do I do? But no, it was fantastic. Like, such a great memory for me to take.
I think you were made vice-captain at the start of the season. Difficult end to last year, really heartbreaking. I was in the stands. I was as devastated as you, believe me. How was it coming in at the start of this season and picking everyone up and really looking ahead to this season and trying to bounce back as quickly as possible?
First and foremost, as a player, it's quite a hard thing to come back from because you feel like, oh, what could I have done different? Or... oh, if only I had done this. And it's a bit like a lot of self-reflection. But in the end, you have to park it and say, that was last year and this is a new season, new goals. A big chunk of the team that had played last season left eventually. So it was almost like we were starting from fresh. So only a few of us that experienced that heartache from last season were here. And you just use it as fuel. Like for me, it was like, right, it's happened, it's done. So what can we do this season that makes it better than last so it don't happen again? We got Damo, Bevs, Laws in as our managers, and it's just been a completely different environment. It's like so refreshing. Everyone wants to come to training, and the training's so fun. Like, we work so hard. There's not one day where people are like, oh, I've got training. It's always like, oh, I've got training tonight, lovely. Like, we've got to a point now we don't want the season to end because it's that enjoyable, and that's what the difference is. Like, this season we've come to win, whereas last season I think we was holding on, hoping not to lose. So the mentality's changed. So it's like we've used it as a positive rather than coming in thinking, oh, another one. Yeah.
We spoke to Damon a little bit earlier and we talked about kind of key moments throughout the season or moments where he felt, this is, I can see us, you know, doing really well. And he picked out a few moments, but also picked out some of those results that maybe didn't go your way because they highlighted the character of the squad. Can you talk a little bit about that, the character the team has shown throughout the season and maybe who some of those individuals are who maybe lead a little bit more?
Yeah, we obviously had Portsmouth at the start of the season. We lost 2-0 midweek, which was an awful trip in general, and obviously the results didn't go our way, and I think that was a real kick in the teeth because we'd set a goal to obviously become champions and you never expect to lose that early on. So that was the first knock. And then I think we used it as motivation to be better. And then after that, we never looked back. We obviously went into Christmas in a really good position. And then we had the slip up Billericay, which was like a shock to the system. And one you don't really expect, obviously, again, trying to become a champion. So we've had a couple, Ipswich Town also. You're thinking, oh God, I don't know if it's going to go our way. But girls have stepped up. Like you say, name a few. Poppy, she's had a great season in terms of connecting the attack from defence to attack. Dre, I think, has been outstanding for us. She's played in numerous positions, same as Annie. I mean, I don't think there's been a position she's not played. So we've had players that have stepped up in moments where we've needed to. Poppy scored a last-minute winner or to draw the game against Ipswich. I mean, sometimes when you feel like the games aren't going your way, you've got players producing that kind of magic. It's like, well, actually, it is our time. Oxford, you had Araya scoring that worldie of a finish. Bianca, what a team goal that was. So, like, the momentum shifts. When you have a bit of belief and you add in a few good performances and also bad ones to kick you up the bum and think, oh, gosh, no, we've got to be better. I think, yeah, that the momentum changes and it makes you feel as though, yeah, actually, now is our time. And Billericay was that last game and the girls didn't look fazed. It was like, OK, whatever happens, happens, because we know that we've given it now our best shot. We just got to do our part, win the game, and what will be will be. And thankfully, like, yeah, it was. So, yeah, we've had a lot. We've grown a lot. Put it that way, we've definitely grown a lot. There's been times where we've doubted that we could do it, but in the end it's that belief that got us through. So yeah, same again on Saturday, that's for sure.
That's interesting because you and Damo, that's what you call them, isn't it? Damo, you both sort of picked out losses first. We talked about what the moments of help, you know, I asked, you know, the when we asked him, he picked out those losses. You lost just against Nottingham Forest. So is your approach to this game going to be any different because of what happened very, 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 very recently in such a high-pressure game?
No, I don't think so. I think, if anything, it's fuel for the fire. We know that we lost by small margins. I mean, on another day, you score the three chances we had in the first half, and it's a different game going into half-time. So we prepare as if we would any other game, and to us, we know we're in such a great position. We've just won the league. We're full of confidence. We're ready to put those wrongs right, and come Saturday, I know the girls will turn up, and we will score those opportunities in the first half this time. I know that for a fact.
Love it. I'd actually quite like that, the fact when we first started talking, it's almost like she'd forgotten about the game. I know that sounds a weird thing to say, but she's not dwelling on it. And I think sometimes with big games like this, if you know who you are and you know how you play, you know how you're going to sort of go into this game because that's what you are. She's not overthinking it. That's got to be a good headspace to be.
Yeah, and I think what came across really well is that she's not getting too carried away about the weekend. And I think probably the reason for that is that, and she mentioned it, you can't get too down in the low moments as well. We talked to her about that Coventry United game and going down the last day of the season. That would have been awful for those players. And you can come into the new season really dwelling on that. But actually, as she said, as coming in as vice-captain, she's had a responsibility to try and help those players, and she mentioned that there's been quite a big turnover, but she had a responsibility to try and move on from that, and she clearly did that. And she obviously doesn't want to go too much to the other end of the spectrum of getting too carried away until the job is done.
Last up, the one, the only, or GOAT, as Bianca called her, Helen Ward. Helen's been on the podcast many, many times over the last few years since she returned to Watford. She started her career here. She went to many dizzy heights in women's football. And recently, she gained the record of being the highest scorer in Welsh football history. Not just women, men as well. We got with Helen, of course, before Saturday's game. So, Helen, big game for several reasons for you. Firstly, it being a promotion winner, but also this is going to be your last professional game of football.
Last game, full stop, professional or otherwise. But yeah,
you're going to be a five-a-side with me, if you like.
The bigger picture, of course, is the team and the goal of getting back up into the Championship. And that is what all eyes are on at this moment. We're feeling really good going into it. For me, on a personal level, yeah, it's got a few different sort of feelings around it, but right now my focus is just being part of the team and hopefully getting the goal of achieving promotion. And the fact that I won't be there to enjoy it next season, if that does happen, is by the by. But yeah, it's a big day.
You've played in lots of big games. I think it was 10 years ago that you scored in an FA Cup final. How much would it mean to take Watford up in what is probably going to be the biggest game for some of your teammates in their career so far?
Yeah, I mean, the world. I mean, we obviously achieved promotion a couple of years ago, but it wasn't the way we wanted it to be with COVID and upward movement and points per game and all that stuff that went around it. So it's been a while since this club has had a day that means so much and has so much riding on it. We've had a few downs in that time. We've had the ups as well, but we've not necessarily been rewarded for good performances because of the pandemic and what have you. I think the last time the club won a trophy other than the County Cup was when I was captain here my first time round, so that shows how long it's been. So to win the league last weekend was amazing in itself, but yeah, we really hope to finish the job off. And the girls, you know, they've had the League Cup final a couple of weeks ago, but yeah, it's a big game for a lot of us, but you know, they're ready for it. Even the younger ones who maybe haven't had this sort of pressure, if you like, but we're in a really good space as a team, and you know, the feeling's really good going into this game.
Comparing this group of younger players, how did you sort of see them, the team sort of come together this year? Because there's always lots of turnover with players in the women's game. You know, Damo, he was around last year, but you know, first year he's been the main manager. What have you sort of seen this happen to this gang over the season?
Sounds really cliche, but I think growth is the word I'd use. Not just my waistline, but the team as a whole. But like, you look at players, I'll pick out Poppy and Annie, for example. They've grown into huge roles within this team on the pitch and off the pitch, to be fair. But coming into this year, probably hadn't had a consistent spell of first team regular football where they're sort of relied on for their performances. I mean, I'm sure they've had spells in teams where they've been in the team, but they've probably never been that player that we need you every week and we need you to be at your best every week. And they've really grown into those roles. I think at times they found it difficult with the, as I said, the pressures and stuff, but they've handled it really, really well. And I think having players like myself, Gemma Davison, Megan Chandler, Anna Maywald, who have sort of been there, done it at various levels, having those sorts of players around each other has really helped. And the youngsters obviously brought a load of energy and, you know, enthusiasm to the group, which is huge. But yeah, I think as a whole, we've really grown into the team that we are. Again, it sounds really cliche, but I've not been part of such a together group. And it's not like, you know, we're not all best mates off the pitch. We don't go and hang out together all the time. But when we're here, there's no, I don't know if you're hanging around for training, but there's no cliques. There's no, obviously you've got your pals, but there's no divide. There's no sections of this type of player, that type of player, age, whatever. And that's quite unique in any football team, in my experience. And it's a real pleasure to be a part of, to be honest. And, you know, whether my role in that is the mum of the group or not, it may be, but I like to look after them all as if they are my own kids. But no, it's been a real pleasure. And as I said, the team, and I think Damon and the staff as well, have grown into their roles, because it's his first job as a senior level manager in men or women's football. But women's football's, from what I gather, is a bit of a different kettle of fish altogether anyway. But he's handled it well. I'm sure he's learnt a lot. Bevs and Laura have done so as well. But yeah, as a collective, it's been a really enjoyable season. And to look where we are now from the start of pre-season, what, almost a year ago, it's been a really good journey.
I thought you'd want to be their auntie rather than mum. No. A supportive auntie.
I'll take up the maternal role. I do it at home anyway, to my two kids and my husband. So, yeah, no, I'm it's my pleasure to have so many little ones around.
Bianca Baptiste described you as the goat. Whatever your role on Saturday, or wherever you start, however that kind of looks, what will be your focus on Saturday in terms of your teammates? What will be your role on the day be?
I think trying to keep everybody calm. I believe in this group, and I know sometimes players may have moments of doubt. I think those have got less and less over the season, and it's just sort of my job. And, you know, as I said, the likes of Gemma, Megan, Bianca as well, she's got a lot of experience. It's up to us to just keep calm heads and say, look, we might go 1-0 down. It's not a problem. We did that a couple of weeks ago against Oxford. We've done it in other games. We've been able to come back when we've kept doing what we can do and playing our football and believing in our philosophy and our style, if you like. Of course, my job on the pitch is to score goals, so that would be nice as well if I can do that. But just to keep everyone together, make sure that no one's panicking, and, you know, be there for anyone that needs a quick word or a little bit of encouragement and enthusiasm, I'm there to do that. But yeah, there's several players in the team that can do that role as well. So yeah, it's a, as I said, it's a good mix in our group of all sorts of characters and experiences.
It's goat's cry, a cool thing to be called, but technically now, because you've got a mural on the wall at Vicarage Road, that definitely considers you a legend at Watford. The number of people who've got such a thing is quite limited. How was that when you were, was it a training session you were all there for, and you sort of led round to it?
So it was after the Oxford game, actually. Complete surprise. I had no idea. And I think the idea was, if the result went our way, which of course it did, they were going to take us round and sort of unveil it. But we were sort of wandering round the pitch, 10 o'clock at night, whatever it was, thinking, what on earth are we doing? I know that there was no food or anything around that side. I had no idea what was going on. Laura got me to stand up. I don't know if you've seen the videos, and coming to the middle, and then, yeah, I just couldn't believe it. I had no idea at all. And like you said, I think Luther and Graham Taylor, Elton John are the other ones that have got the privilege. So to be in that company is quite something. Not going to put myself up there with them in terms of legend status, but it was a real honour and an amazing moment for me, and something that, yeah, that's going to live with me forever, even if it ends up getting painted over in a couple of years. I've got the pictures and I know it was there. So, yeah, it was a real special moment, and shout out to everybody involved that made it happen, including our own Mr. Elliot Murray over there, Laura, Rich Walker, everyone that was involved, Dave Messenger as well. I know they all had a part to play in it. So it's something I'm really, really grateful for, and took the family along to see it a couple of weeks ago, and they loved it too. So yeah, it was amazing.
For those that are listening and maybe don't know, you're a Watford fan as well, aren't you? You're not just a player in the current setup. You started your career here. You're a fan of the team. You're a season ticket holder for the men's team. How much more does it mean, being that it's your club that have recognised you? You could probably get legendary status at another club and have a mural, but when it's the club that you've grown up supporting that you will continue to come to as a season ticket holder, how much more does it mean because of that personal attachment?
Yeah, it means everything. I mean, thankfully, I walk in at the opposite corner of the ground, so I don't have to see my own face every time I turn up. But being a fan of a club, you go through the ups and downs, as you all know, mm-hmm. thick and thin. Sometimes feels as a Watford fan that you get more of the thin side than the thick at times. But we've had some really great moments in the last few years as a whole club. And yeah, as a fan, to know that you're considered in some sort of high regard is really special and probably hasn't sunk in just yet. You know, how many thousands of people are going to walk through those gates and potentially see my mug on the wall.
There's two. Your face's on there twice.
Yeah, true. But yeah, it's amazing. And yeah, the club means an awful lot to me. And I think everybody knows that. So it's special.
Next year, you're not going to be a fan again. Do you see yourself still being involved with this team, that's the women's team? Or is it time for a bit of a break from all that?
I hope so, in some capacity. I'm not quite ready to get the coaching boots on just yet. I am doing my B licence in June, so I'll have that in the back pocket if I need it. But I'll be hanging around the club in some capacity, I'm sure. I'll see what people want me to do, but I can't just walk away that easily. It's been too big a part of my life, and to be honest, I don't know much different. So, yeah, I'll be hanging around like a bad smell, I'm sure. But fingers crossed there'll be some involvement in the women's team as well, because I'm hoping that whatever happens on Saturday, the majority of this group stay together, because it really is something special, and I don't want to just walk away from that and, you know, not look back. So, yeah, fingers crossed there's something in the pipeline.
You've known a long time, Kieran. I recently found out I've known her quite a long time, because I used to live next door to her when we were kids. But that's a whole other story. You couldn't ask, if you were putting a team together, someone with her experience, her status, everything she's achieved, every team would want her in their squad, wouldn't they?
And every team would want her in their squad for what is going to be their biggest game of the season. As we discussed in the interview, you know, she's played in some really big games, both for club and country. And she will be, whatever her role on Saturday, she will be really, really important in that dressing room. Her experience, along with Gemma Davison, who's played at the highest level, along with Helen, will be really important. But as we kind of chatted about, this will mean an awful lot to her, not just because it's her last ever game as a player, but she's a Watford fan. This club is in her blood, and she will want to end her career on a high by helping to take the club up.
Well, Saturday it is, 1 o'clock kickoff at Milton Keynes Dons. Tickets still available if you want to come down. Go up and see this playoff game and see when Watford women get promoted to the Championship. Thank you very much, Kieran.
Thank you, John.
Thank you for everyone. To Damo, as I think the girls call him, the Damo. To Bianca, Flo, Megan, and of course Helen, for being on the podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. And yeah, I'll get yourself ready for the game on Saturday. Come on, you all!